I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. And we've got a lot of things happening this week. First of all, I want to say that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Listen, we got some things happening. Thanks to a recommendation by Jeffrey Powers of the Geekazine Netcast, he was telling me about a new Canon camera, the Canon Vixia HF20, as it says right there, and he told me about it, and I got all excited and went out and got one, and that's what I'm using right now, is the new Canon Vixia HF20, and I'm telling you, it's awesome. You can tell by the quality of the sound, because I'm using, you notice the lavalier mic here, that's a lavalier condenser mic, and I'm running it directly into the camera. It allows me to adjust the audio directly, you know, manually in the camera. The problem with a lot of cameras is they adjust the audio automatically, and so you know, if you stop talking, then it goes and you hear all this ambient noise in the background, and it just drives me nutty. I can't handle it, because I want it to be a quality netcast. That's one of the things that drives me. Yes, you can ask my wife about that. She's always saying, why do you keep changing things? Well, because that's just the way I am. What can I say? Anyway, so I think we finally got it set up. I've been tweaking and playing and doing all kinds of things. But we have now true HD high quality video. And I'm really excited about it, as you can tell. Anyway, let's talk about a few other things. First of all, again, I want to thank our new sponsor, Citrix Systems. I am a Citrix administrator, and I am pleased to be able to offer you a free, now there's no problems with this offer. This is not one of those that has little hooks in it that will get into you and claw you into pieces. No. Citrix is a nice company. I work with Citrix Systems at work. Yes. And I can tell you, they have high quality stuff. Now, GoToMeeting is no exception. If you're looking to go to a meeting without having to physically get in your car, drive to the airport, get in the plane, fly someplace, get into a hotel room, get all checked in, get into a suit, go to a meeting, sit there for about an hour, then go back to your hotel room, sleep that night, get back up, get in the car, go, oh man, it's a lot of trouble. So, what you want is to be able to do it right from your desktop, right here. See, I'm sitting in my office, and I'm right here, and there's my computer right there in front of me. A little bit to an angle because of the way I'm having to shoot than it was before, but I can still see it. So if you look, see me looking over there, you'll know it's because it's my computer. At any rate, the point is, it's much easier to go to a meeting through your computer using GoToMeeting. It's awesome, and it's a free trial, dude. So you can't go wrong. Go to my website, drbill.cc. Go there, click on the GoToMeeting ad, or you can use this special URL right here, and that will also be on the show notes, and it will also be sent out in all of the other communications that we have, which that's another good thing that I need to talk about for just a moment. But first of all, let me say, use GoToMeeting. Do it now. It will be such a good thing for you. Now, let me mention about what I was going to mention about the other thing, which I just thought of while I was talking about GoToMeeting. Yes, and that is that we have a newsletter. I don't know if you know we have a newsletter, because I don't mention it very often, but we do indeed have a newsletter. It goes out after every netcast is completed, posted, and put out at all the places that I normally put out netcasts, which is actually quite a lot. The old YouTube and Vimeo and Blip TV and Vodpod and a bunch of other places. So, and they're just all over the place. So my Knitcast is getting out there across the interweb, as it should be. But the point is that we have this newsletter, and as soon as it gets posted all those places, I hit the button and it goes out to all the people that are on our newsletter list. Now you might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Dr. Bill, why am I not on your newsletter list? Because you haven't signed up. That's the only reason. Because I want to send it to you and I won't spam you. It comes out after every Knitcast. Now that does a couple of things. One, it gives you good information. Two, it tells you there's a Knitcast to go watch. So, I mean, it's a win-win. What can I say? So here's what you need to do. You need to go to the website, once again, drbill.cc. CC standing for Computer Curmudgeon, as you know. And you go to the website, you scroll down. I'm going to actually do it. I'm going to go to the website, and I'm going to scroll down below the GoToMeeting ad and the Mac Connection ad and the TechPodcast.com ad. A few ads. But right there, it says Dr. Bill's newsletter. And there's a line there that says enter your email. Now, what should you do? You should enter your email. Tappity, tappity, tappity. Then you click the subscribe button. And voila, it is done. You have subscribe to the newsletter, and then you'll get all of the wonderful information about the DrBill.TV show, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Yes. So, good stuff. Now, let us go into the blog then and see what we have for you this week. First item, Microsoft releases a new version of Windows Thin PC. Now, Windows Thin PC, the idea here is to have a client that will work for thin computing like VMware View and Citrix Zen Desktop and all the other virtual desktop infrastructure products that are out there. So Microsoft has released a new version of Windows Thin PC. It's basically Windows 7 with all the junk taken out of it. Windows 7 is already pretty thin compared to XP as far as having junk in it. That's why it boots faster and all that kind of good stuff. But they've stripped it down even more, and that allows it to be used much more efficiently in a virtual environment. Now, I've downloaded the beta. I haven't tried it yet. Haven't had a chance. I've been running hither and yon as I normally do, and it's kept me really busy. So, I'll get back to you on how that goes. In the meantime, this is how Linus announced Linux. Linus Torvalds announced Linux back in 1991. Now, I mentioned this before. I was actually there. I was on the news group. The news group was the Usenet news group, Comp OS Minix, M-I-N-U-X. And I was very interested in Unix. I was very interested in what was going on in that area. And so I subscribed to that Usenet group. And I was reading through. And I saw this post that said that this Finnish computer science student, Linus Benedict Torvalds, was going to write this new operating system. And I was like, man, that is so cool. And so I started following it then, and that's how I got involved with Linux. Pretty neat. Okay. Next item. Next item is a geek culture. It is a photograph from the cabinet room. I don't know what room it was there in the White House, but the president and all of his staff watching intently when Osama bin Laden was being taken out, which, by the way, good job, troops, right? The Navy SEAL team that did that, awesome. At any rate, it's a really intense photograph. You know, the president's all couched over, and he's got his coat on, and he's looking so intent at the monitor there. And somebody photoshopped in a PlayStation controller. And so it looks like he's playing a video game. So somebody put this shot up on the internet and then had a headline under it that said, "Great shot, sir." It's pretty cool. There's been a whole lot of photoshopping of that particular picture. There was one where the little girl from the royal wedding, you know, that had her hands over ears, was photoshopped in. And it was lots of weird stuff that people do out there. People have too much time on their hands, apparently. Anyway, next item. I was at the VMware vMug user group summit meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm sitting there being slightly bored because it was between sessions, we were on break, and I was looking at my Android phone and watching the Twitters go by, and there Patrick Norton sent out a Twitter about FreeNAS version 8 had come out, and I was like, dude, that's cool. So I thought, ooh, I know, I'll post directly from the phone to the blog, and I did, and it worked. But it's kind of hard to type a really long blog post, so I just kind of put a little more to come, and then I fleshed it out later, because I don't want to keep typing little bitty tiny things. It just doesn't work. But it's pretty cool. It's, as far as I know, the first blog post I did from my phone. Cool. By the way, speaking of Twittering, Patrick Twittered that information. I am really going to try to use Twitter more. I haven't been good about using Twitter as well as I should. So let me tell you that if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you could follow me at Dr. Bill Bailey, D-R-B-I-L-L-B-A-I-L-E-Y, as it says right here. If you will join, follow, whatever, me on Twitter, then I will send you out periodic interesting things. And you know all kinds of interesting things happen with me. Yes. Anyway, so go ahead and do that. And I believe it will be helpful to you. Whoa! It's time for another Geek Software of the Week, as you can tell. Geek Software of the Week this week is Handbrake. Handbrake is a video transcoder. And you're saying, Dr. Bill, another video transcoder tool? Well, yes. I'm a video kind of guy, as you can tell. I'm always playing with the video and coming up with ways to make it cooler. At any rate, this is another transcoder tool, I must admit, but it's a pretty good one. It is highly recommended by the aforementioned Patrick Norton, who, by the way, is at Patrick Norton, I believe, and on Twitter. And he has recommended this as well as his cohort, Robert Heron, from HD Nation, which is a sub-program of TechZilla, which is on the Revision 3 network. I got all that right. That's just so cool. I have tried to get things right. I really do. Anyway, so it has all kinds of neat features, though. It is, first of all, open source. That means it's free, and it's open source. Did I mention it's open source? I mean, I really like open source projects, and this is a good one, and has been around a while, and is doing very well. At any rate, it is an open source GPL license, multi-platform, multi-threaded video transcoder available for Mac OS X, which is 10, Linux, and Windows. It will take DVDs, Blu-ray sources. It will take DVD images. It will pull those and where you can code them into something to run on your iPad or iPhone or your Droid, like me, Droid X, or whatever. So, cool stuff. It will also take formats like the MP4 format and transcode it into other formats. It's a pretty cool tool. And it allows you to do chapter selection and subtitles and just a lot of other stuff. So, handy tool to have. All right, Skype's Mac client has a dangerous exploit. Yikes! Skype's Mac client has a dangerous exploit, and there's a lot of security stuff going on out there. You've probably been listening to PlayStation has been down. They've been compromised twice in the last couple of weeks, and people have lost credit cards. I mean, you know, because of the Game Master using his credit card on the PlayStation Network, we're going to go ahead and get a new card too. I mean, that's a lot of trouble because you got your card embedded in so many things. But at any rate, to be safe, that's what you need to do. So I encourage you, if you have been on the PlayStation Network, get your card replaced, okay? But this is another, yet another security issue that has come up in Skype's Mac client. A security dude found that the Apple Mac computer had a zero-day vulnerability that allows an attacker to gain remote control of the victim's Mac, according to security researchers. Remote control, dude, they could take it over and get anything that you had on your Mac. That's not good. You know that's not good. Another security issue. LastPass. Now let me say this. LastPass is an awesome tool, and I use it myself. And it was a Geek Software of the Week, so you know it's got to be good. But at any rate, LastPass, now here's where I give LastPass credit. Rather than sitting on it for a week like Sony did when they found out they had a problem, LastPass immediately came out and said that they had a security issue, potential security issue. It turns out it may not even be a big deal. But because they're a security company and because they want to have full disclosure, they went ahead and announced that they saw a spike in traffic on their servers, which alerted them that something might be going on. So they just told everybody, change your master password, and we need to lock this thing down, guys. And so they are working on that. Now, because they ask everybody to change their password all at once, and because everybody's doing it all at once, it made their service a little spotty. I noticed it was going in and out on me a couple of days ago, and that's because of this event. So, you know, that was frustrating, but I will say this. I give them kudos for their reaction, for what they did. They announced they had a problem, they dealt with the problem, they kept full disclosure going about the problem, and they did the right thing. And it says in the article here that they were being just a little paranoid, but you want your security companies to be a little paranoid. Know what I'm saying? Okay? Because we're talking your passwords here. I mean, they can get into anything if they could get into your passwords. So, you need to use that. Now, here's the other thing. Boy, I got a lot going on here. The other thing I wanted to show you is JolieCloud. You know, remember a couple of netcasts back, it's been probably quite a few netcasts back, I showed you how to install JolieCloud on your system using VMware Workstation and then installing it there so I could capture it on the screen and put it on the netcast. Well, here is it actually on the netbook. Actually on the netbook, Acer netbook, and I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. Check it out. Okay, what we have here is an Acer netbook, and it is running JolieCloud 1.2, and this is the netbook that I've shown you before that has the huge battery, and what we're going to do now, I'm going to try to zoom in on the screen. I don't know how well this will work, given the lighting in here. But we shall see. This screen is actually pretty amazing. I've been able to customize it, kind of happy with the end result there. And it has most of the apps that I really like. The browser there is Chromium, which is pretty much Chrome. I mean, you know, might as well be Chrome. And then Facebook app, Twitter app, Gmail, Google Docs, yada yada. Basically the applications that I really found interesting, including, of course, down here, Frozen Bubble. You got to have Frozen Bubble if you're going to have a... oops, my screen went blank on me. If you're going to have a netbook based on Linux. And, of course, that's what JolieCloud is. It is based on Linux. Basically, it is Linux. It's a version of Linux. And the idea here is to have... a cloud computing client. And so I'm going to be using it for a while, and I'll let you know how it goes and whether or not it holds up in the real world. One thing I do like about it is that they actually did a good job mapping the keys correctly. The functions work well. Things like, for instance, you can hit control and scroll on your mouse and change the size of your icons. Very much like in Windows 7. Pretty neat. So the one thing I did find is when I installed it on the netbook, that it installed flawlessly, and it also connected right to my Wi-Fi network with no hassles whatsoever. All I had to do was just plug in this secret code, which of course everyone should have a secret code on their Wi-Fi network. And I plugged that in, and it just started working. I didn't have to set up anything. I didn't have to tell it to do anything. It just worked right out of the box. That's impressive for a Linux-based cloud computing client, and that's what they really need to have in order to be able to use it effectively for real humans. Yes. So that's Jolie Cloud for now. I will get more information as I use it. You've seen the install on earlier Netcast, and now you've seen kind of how the customized environment, once I've gotten my hands on it, works. So more info as I go along. These little projects sometimes take time. All right, pretty neat, huh? Lots of neat features. And as I said in the video, the speed on the netbook was actually very impressive. I was impressed with how well it performs on the netbook. Now here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna keep using it on the netbook, and I'm gonna keep trying different things and see if I can actually live with a cloud client and using cloud tools and just as a test, see how that works. So we'll see how that goes. Okay? Alrighty, well, I think we're just about out of time for this week's Netcast. Hope you enjoyed the Jolie Cloud demo and all the other things we talked about on the Netcast. Join us next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here.